Please pray with me. We praise you, Holy God. We praise you, bless you, we worship you. We thank you, Lord God, for you are awesome. And I ask today, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would work within each person here and within these words, because apart from you, I can do nothing. Open up our minds and our hearts and our spirits that we might hear from you, that you would speak to us today. And help us in the point of our need as we continue on our journey with you. And I pray this in the strong name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. If you wonder why God loves the children, how simple was that little girl who said, Jesus is already in my heart. I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that. It's just great. We all struggle, though, as adults. Things aren't so simple, are they? We struggle with change so much. We struggle with, even in this world, even the weather is changing these days. The weather, the unrest, all of those things are changing all around us. Our economy is changing. Everything is more expensive. Gas. You know it's $8 a gallon in England? So maybe we shouldn't complain. And people have struggles with jobs. And the dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. Things that worked before aren't working now. Actually, things that worked before in the Presbyterian Church are working as well as they should for today's times. And so we need to ask God, what do we do now? How do we hear God, and how do we listen to God? The first thing we have to do to keep our peace and to keep our relationship with God is accept that things are going to change. Now, I want you to fold your hands in your lap, just for a second. Now, fold them again and put the other thumb on top. That's very uncomfortable. That's what change is. Change is uncomfortable. That's what change is. And that's the way we need to live our lives. It's uncomfortable. A long time ago, I had a friend whose husband worked for General Motors, GM. But she thought that the word GM stood for gonna move. And we see in Elijah's life that he was on the move. One day, he was living in Gilead, and he was doing his thing, and God called him to go to the king's court and tell Ahab. God was so angry with him, and that until Elijah spoke again, there'd be no rain. God told Elijah to run, to get out of there. Of course, they would have tortured Elijah until he said, let's rain, and let's have rain again. And the interesting thing is that God sent Elijah across the Jordan out of the country, which in a way is symbolized with the fact that God withdrew from the country. God withdrew his blessings. God withdrew from the country. And there was no rain. And altogether, it lasted about 4 years. So you can imagine how things were drying up. But Elijah was fine. Elijah was living by the river. And God took care of him with the ravens bringing him up. Could you imagine ravens bringing you food in the morning and at night? How amazing. But during that year, he was alone. There was no one with him. And he deepened his intimacy with God. He learned to hear God's voice. He learned to trust. Seeing ravens come every day and night for a year, you learn to know that God is able to provide. In fact, when God guides, God provides. I just want to tell you that again. When God guides, God provides. He stayed there for a year, and I think that there are times in our own personal journey when God calls us out of the busyness into a time of intimacy with just God. I've known there's been times in my walk, many times, when I just need to be with God by myself for a while. I couldn't depend on my friends, I couldn't depend on anybody else, and that was what God wanted, because that's how I could learn to hear His voice and develop more deeply into my relationship with God. God still does that. And in that time, we learn to be more aware of His direction. God has done this in my life, and it has been helpful, because the next part of my journey, I needed whatever I learned in that quiet time to move on. About 10 years ago, there was a great little book published called Who Moves the Cheese? You might have read it. It was a great little story about two little mice, Sniff and Scurry, and two little people called Hem and Haw. They lived in a maze and depended on eating this large supply of cheese that was right in front of them. It was great, and the mice put their sneakers around their neck. They tied them together, and they would eat the cheese, and the two little people, they threw their sneakers in the corner. And they would just sleep in the morning and go over and eat the cheese whenever they wanted, and then they'd have their day, and you know, life was pretty easy. And one day, the cheese was gone. Hem and Haw couldn't believe it. They were ready to build a nice home with a big picture window looking at the big pile of cheese. But it never came to be because the pile was gone. Now the little mice had their sneakers already, and they put them on and they started running through the maze and finding more cheese. Sometimes it would be a little supply. Sometimes it would be a big supply. Sometimes it would be different than anything they had eaten before. But they lived, and they were fine, and they moved around. Well, Hem and Haw, they just got more and more hungry because they couldn't believe that that pile was gone and that it wasn't going to build up again for them. They were very angry. And I'm sure they're named Hem and Haw because I'm sure as well, maybe we should go look for some more. And maybe we should try to find our sneakers, and maybe, but why isn't that cheese back here? Why can't we still have our cheese the way it is? And so eventually, one of them put on their sneakers and went out, found the sneakers and went out and started to search for more food. One of the little nuggets from this is we have to keep moving. We don't get to stay put. We have to keep moving. And since the brook dried up for Elijah, God had a new plan. Go to Zarephath in Sidon. Now, the interesting thing is that Sidon was where Jezebel's father ruled. He's still out of Israel. He's still out of that area. And he goes to see a widow who was not Jewish. And so he has to run 100 miles, which is pretty far. He gets there in 100 miles. And the thing that's interesting about the word Zarephath is that it means to smelt or burn out the impurities. So even though Elijah had spent a year with the ravens taking care of him by the river, he still wasn't done. God wasn't done purifying him for the next part of the journey. So here he is arriving at Zarephath, and he sees a widow who's poor and is about ready to die. All she has is a handful of flour and a little oil. And so the thing that I want to tell you next is God provides, but not always the way we would expect. God does miracles, but usually there's something we never thought about. It's always beyond our own mind, our own plan, our own comprehension. And God continued to provide for Elisha. The lady, the woman, trusted his God. She said, if your God tells me, this is kind of her attitude, okay, I'll give it a try. So she made the cake for him. He ate it. He went to live in her house, and they had food from then on. Now, that story has happened since then, of God continuing to supply the needs other times in the Bible, because the themes that are in God carry on. The Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah because the oil and the lamps in their temple didn't go out for 8 days when they didn't have any. And there was another woman, I love Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know if any of you have read any of her stuff. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. Her family was Christians in Holland, and they used to help the Jewish people escape to England during World War II. They'd hide them in their house, and then they'd get them on the boats and get them over to England. Eventually, they were picked up by the Nazis and put in a concentration camp. And they got into a little barracks, and there was a couple of things that happened in the barracks, but one of them was they got to smuggle their Bible in there so they could read the Bible the whole time, not just for themselves, but they made a little community about everybody in the barracks. The other thing is somebody brought in a bottle of vitamins, and everyone in the barracks got a vitamin every day, and the bottle of vitamins never went empty. So God does provide. And sometimes it's miraculous. And what can I say? We just have to get our minds open so that we can see. But there is a catch, and the catch is that we need to learn to be obedient to what we see God doing in our lives. When God guides us, if we hear his voice, and if it's inconsistent with Scripture, and if when God leads us, if we know that we know, and we're obedient, then God will give us the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Because God's looking for people to be faithful and to follow what he wants us to do. We are, each of us, God's workmanship, and we are each created to do special things that no one else could do just like we do. Nobody. And so God has a way of guiding us and preparing us, and we need to learn to develop a listening ear so that we can take the next step. I was reminded of a time when I was, after I did interims for a while, and I started doing, there was about 8 months between the time when I did my last interim and started doing hospice care. And I knew that God had told us to sell this big house and move. And I just knew it. I had the time. I cleaned it out. Have you ever cleaned out all of the stuff in your house from 25 years? And so I had time. I cleaned out that stuff. I threw out piles and piles of stuff. And put the house on the market, and I think it was on a week, and it sold. And that was just before the housing market started to go down. And then we had to go and find another house to live. We didn't know, where should we live? Where does God want us to live? And we prayed about it, and we did what we knew to do. We started looking at houses. The third house was the right house, the fixer-upper, which is really getting fixed up nicely by now. But that was the time to move. And God showed us to do that. I can't explain how I knew that I knew, but that's what we did. And it turned out to be perfect. Was it fun to move? Was it easy? Nothing was enjoyable about it, especially all of the stuff that had to get cleaned out. But I did learn to live lighter, to live with fewer bags, less stuff. We don't need that. And there's been other times as well when God just laid it on my heart to do something that I needed to do. And there's times when I've been obedient, and I must tell you, there's times when I haven't, just like everybody else. But the point is that we have to learn to love the process, the journey, because it's sometimes it's not about the end, it's about the journey. It's about learning to ask the questions and waiting to find out what the answers are. I had an aha moment recently. I've been struggling and struggling with forgiveness, and for years, against someone that hurt me deeply, deeply, deeply. And I was praying about it because I forgive and I do really well, and then it all comes back. And I was praying really hard, and God had shown me some of the things that I had done to hurt other people. And this particular time, in this particular way, it was the aha moment I needed to let go and be done. And it's over. It's completely over within me. I have peace. I no longer have resentment. I'm free. I'm just completely free because the Holy Spirit just worked within me to get me to the place. It took a long time because who wants to forget? But the process was worth it. And now it's over. Our God loves us, and He holds our very lives in His hands. He's teaching us, He's shaping us, and shaping us and teaching us is a sign of God's pleasure. He invites us to work in His plan because we were created, and there's no joy more wonderful than to see your gifts and your graces doing something that you know you were meant to do. It's such a kick. It's awesome. So we need to allow God to transform our lives. We need to allow Jesus to be the center. We need to know that when God guides through the power of the Holy Spirit, God will provide. And we need to wait for God to provide. And we need to be available and open to discern what the will is for God, for you in your life. So keep your sneakers on, or at least keep them around your neck, so that you can continue to enjoy the adventure and the journey that God has laid